My name's Jordan Durante, and the reason I've contacted your good self, Tony, is to talk about my grandfather's murder. His name was Mr. James William Durrant, and he was murdered on October the 26th, 1988, in Surbiton, after coming home from the Grand Hall of Freemasons.
When you say the Grand Hall of Freemasons, are you talking about Covent Garden, Central London, or what?
Yes, indeed. So Covent Garden, Central London. My grandfather was actually the treasurer for the United Kingdom's Freemasons and also the treasurer from the Anglo-Dutch Lodge of Freemasons.
Okay, so this is United, we're talking about United Grand Lodge here, of which the Duke of Kent is the Grand Master.
Correct, and my grandfather used to be the treasurer of the Freemasons of the Grand Hall and also the treasurer from the Anglo-Dutch Lodge of Freemasons. My grandfather was also an RAF squadron leader. And really, the reason I've contacted you, Tony, is my journey over the last few years. I've managed to look into my grandfather's murder and associated trusts that he left for his family in December 2019. And what I've uncovered really would shock the public.
Let me just clear one thing up. Was he the treasurer for the whole Freemasons, or just for the the Grand Hall in Covent Garden?
No. So from my information, he was the treasurer of the United Grand Lodge of the Freemasons in Covent Garden, and also the Anglo-Dutch Lodge. I have paperwork. I've managed to trace all of the living witnesses that knew my grandfather.
Well, this is important, isn't it? This is important stuff, because the Dutch were behind, at least it's alleged Dutch Freemasons were behind the so-called Glorious Revolution in the late 1600s, where King Billy came over and actually took the throne off the Stuarts. And so there is this very strong connection between Holland and Britain when it comes to the takeover of not just the Freemasons, but the whole country by that dynasty. So, but you've talked a couple of times about murder. What evidence have you got for that?
What happened is I've obviously got to look into my family's documents in 2019, and basically after reading lots of different bits of information, there was one corporate provider, trust service provider, that is basically my trust service provider. And I read a newspaper article one day in The Guardian, and it happened to mention that name of that trust service provider. So I got in contact with that journalist, and basically he introduced me to a family who has the same trust service provider, and that family is Darren Dick Stock, and they shared documents with me. And I could clearly see that there was a fake repayment or a repayment from their American court case and those documents behind my grandfather's house where he was murdered. So I could immediately tell that the individuals in these documents are certainly involved in what I allege is a financially motivated murder of my grandfather. So I contacted the police whilst I was living in Spain. And for over 4.5 months to 5 months, the Metropolitan Police threatened to arrest me and said that my grandfather's murder did not exist. So I kept calling them, and I was determined that I was going to fight this corruption and cover-ups. So I continued calling them, and one day the police officer came on the phone and said, "Jordan, how can we get you to stop calling us?" So I said, "All right, it's quite simple. Do you have YouTube on your phone?" So the officer said, "We're not supposed to use it, but we will do to stop you calling." So I said, "Well, my name's spelt differently to my grandfather. He was a Durrant. So if you type in Durrant murder solicitor Surbiton, there is the original news clip that's been uploaded onto YouTube in 2016. I was actually at the house and babysat him by my grandfather the very night he was murdered. So I explained to the police that I'm determined to get to the bottom of this. They apologized for the months of threatening to arrest me, and I hold emails, screenshots from the police telling me that they're going to try and get me arrested. And it was a breach of certain laws, keep harassing the police basically to report this murder, which they said wasn't listed. So they put me through to the historical murder squad in London, where I spoke to a lady called Lindsay Barnes and Susan Stansfield. And they sent me an email, believe it or not, saying, we can't access the YouTube clip to do with your grandfather's murder. Was it solved? Because we have no record. So I've got that email, which I can share with you, Tony. It's a very serious matter.
Jordan, you've talked a lot about the police procedures around this alleged murder, but, you know, why don't you just cut to the chase? Tell us about the act of, especially you were around, apparently he's babysitting you that night. What happened, and what evidence is there that it was murder?
Well, I mean, it is murder. I have the death certificate. It's unlawful. Please watch the YouTube clip, Durrant Murder, Solicitor Surbiton. Well, I was babysat that night.
I'm not asking you to say go and watch a YouTube clip. Yeah. Please tell us in your own words.
Right, okay. So I was babysat by my grandfather the night that he was murdered. I got picked up and taken home to my parents with my grandmother, because every month or every few weeks, my grandfather would go to a Masons meeting, and my grandmother would come and stay with our family to have company. Granddad went off that night, went to a Freemasons meeting, paid a bill in one of the pubs opposite the Covent Garden, the Sugarloaf pub, I believe it was called. It's called something different now. He then got a train, I believe, home, where he was spotted maybe by a ticket inspector at Surbiton train station. He then walked down from Surbiton train station to 12 Cranes Park Avenue, where unfortunately his body was then found later that evening by my grandmother and my father, when he did not call in to say that he was getting the last train home from London, which he normally did.
Okay, so apart from this potential evidence of a motive, financial motive, what evidence was there at the scene that it was murder?
Well, he'd been bludgeoned to death on the second floor of the property, been stabbed as well. So I have his death certificate. It doesn't say his real date of birth on it, and his wrong location doesn't say he was stabbed. It just says it's an unlawful killing and had contusions to the head. Basically his head had been caved in. If you watch the news clippings of the time, because I was only 7 years old, the clippings say it was such a brutal murder, they didn't know if he'd been blasted to death with a gun.
Amazing. Just remind us of his name and the date again, please.
Yes, of course. My grandfather was called Mr. James William Durrant, and he was murdered on October the 26th, 1988, in Surbiton at 12 Cranes Park Avenue. What else would yourself or your viewers like to know?
I think you've done a pretty good job there. Now, what have been the financial ramifications for you, and how have you pursued this?
Okay, well, like I was saying before, I looked into the documents at my first opportunity in December 2019, and there's a certain company's name that there was then seen in Darren Dick's articles in The Guardian, written by a gentleman called Mr. James Doard. I contacted that journalist and said, I'd like to speak to this family, because obviously they have the same sort of trust service provider. I've then gone on to find out that there is more active trusts from 68, 69 and 1975 that were never declared to my family, that were active after the murder, and we've never benefited from. For 34 years, my family have hired different sets of lawyers to try and get my family their inheritance. And the individuals said that the Freemasons were the beneficiaries of my grandfather's trust deed. Now, the trust deed that is produced after my grandfather's murder doesn't say his name in it. No lawyer in 34 years managed to get a payment to my side of the family, but I alone managed to communicate with the trust service provider in the Isle of Jersey, managed to move my family out of poverty in Spain, back to England, and get our first payment from the unsigned trust deed and a set of accounts from the trust service provider. They now wish to close the trust and just hand out a small amount of money, when I know there's many, many millions missing from trusts. And they never paid or made any payments to my family in all these decades. It's just nonsense.
How much is in this trust? And also, how can a trustee just remain unsigned?
Yeah, well, the two people that did sign it, the copies of the deed that I've been supplied. So my family hold the original deed from 1990 that's produced after the murder by the trust service provider. I got a further copy in 2022. A seal has now magically appeared on the trust deed, and the two signatures have changed places. If you look at the printed name, the signature is in a different place. The two individuals who signed the trust deed worked for the drug cartels laundering their proceeds. That can be seen in an old World in Action program called Dirty Money that was aired on January the 11th, 1988. And if any of your viewers would like a copy with sound, because at the moment it's on the internet and it's muted. So this is the beginning of a cover-up, I'm explaining to yourself, Tony. I've had seven attempts on my life. You'd only have to look at the Sky News article with Dr. David Staples, who was the leader of the Freemasons. I contacted him and offered to return paperwork that I hold and asked him if they were ever the beneficiaries of the trust deed that's produced after my grandfather's murder. He immediately went on Sky News and said, for the first time in 303 years, the Freemasons have decided to free up their account. So please do look at that article in April 2021 with Dr. David Staples. So unfortunately, you can see the situation I've got myself into just by trying to do the right thing. There's a huge cover-up. I'd like to also point out to yourself, Tony, and your audience, there's a book called The Mafia, the CIA and George Bush, written by Pete Bruton in 1991. I have 30 people in that book in my documents. That's rather strange. So what I did also about this, I travelled to Holland and I found a gentleman called Mr. Vaart, who is the true trustee, who holds all of the Anglo-Dutch Lodge Freemasons letters between my grandfather and Mr. Vaart, asking Airy to be the trustee of the trust. And the current trust service provider in the Isle of Jersey, they don't call him the trustee, they call him the appointer. So apparently he's the one that appoints the trustee or can remove them, which we know is nonsense because he didn't know about this trust deed, hence why Mr. Varr, who's still alive, didn't sign the trust deed either. So you can see it's quite a serious issue. I would like to point out as well that Mr. Ian Robert Maxwell's trust service provider is the same as my family, and we all have
But
the
I mean,
same.
you've also brought up attempted murder of you. Can you take us through some of those incidents, please?
Yeah, well, I started a YouTube channel after speaking to the police with regards to my grandfather's murder. So my YouTube channel, I started to rub it into the police's face, is called London's Unlisted Murder. On my YouTube channel, you'll see on November the 8th, 2021, I've done a video to do what happened to me on that night. The lawyers who represent the executor who failed to get accounts or a payment to my family in 35 years put an application in to stay my family's proceedings at 4:17, just before the court shuts. On that very evening, I was attacked by three people with knives, and at the same time, the police complaints commissioner in the Isle of Jersey, Isle of Man, who is called Mr. Jeff Friend Caron, emails me at 10:26 at night and said now that they're taking the case very seriously and we're going to look into it. But previously, earlier that day, he said the case was shut. So I'm wondering why there was such a rush to put an application in to stay my family's proceedings on November the 8th, 2021. What happened to me later that evening, and that the police complaints commissioner emailed 1 minute before people tried to stab me.
Well, that is interesting, isn't it? And what about some of the other incidents? Was that in the street?
Well, in Spain, I was living in Spain in poverty when I was fighting these people in the beginning. So people would put things in my drink. A couple of cars tried to run me over. And when I first went to the Isle of Man to try and trace down the executor who I'd never met in my life or ever spoken to, I found his house. And when I walked back, a car tried to run me over. So, yeah, a lot of things have been happening, hence why I would like to put
What's
it.
your situation, Jordan, what's your situation now, though?
Well, we had a court case in the Isle of Man where we lost because in my view, the Metropolitan Police placed Mr. Jonathan R. Cush, who was a UK judge that came over when the other judge resigned just out of the blue. I can go into that in a hell of a lot more detail. We lost that case, so the judge won't remove the executor, even though he failed to either find any of the missing assets or trusts or ever distribute more than $300,000 to my family over 34 years. We spent more on lawyers. So we've lost that case, but immediately I flew to the Isle of Jersey and started a case for fraud, breach of trust and breaches of fiduciary duties. And I'll be in the Isle of Jersey courts on February the 19th this month.
Yeah. But what's your own personal situation? Are you okay? Have you got somewhere decent to live? Have you got a job? Have you got an income? Can you buy food?
Yeah, well, I'm actually on Universal Credit and I've been at this since December 2019 and I haven't had a job since, mate.
So what's the website? Where can people go? You've talked about a lot of YouTube videos people can look at. I tend to think it's better just to hear it from the horse's mouth rather than, you know, to point people to YouTube videos they may never get to. But what about a website and whereabouts can people view these things?
Yeah, please. The website's called familytrustcrimes.com. And on there, you'll see I talk about my collaboration with Darren Dick Stock. And there's a journalist there called Mr. Eugene Costello. He's written an article that explains exactly what I've been talking about. You'll see everything is consistent, what I've been saying. You'll see examples of the deed on the website and how they've changed signatures and the seals appealed. Appeared now magically. You'll see the information to do with the drug cartels there. I mean, you'll see a hell of a lot of information. I've also uploaded other cases and been following other interesting forms of corruption in the Isle of Man. For example, the Dr. Ransom case. So I put her article up there. There was also the Simon Halabi case in the Isle of Jersey in October 2022. Now that's interesting, that case, because it's the same person who signed my grandfather's fraudulent dodgy deed, and it's the same trust service provider, and they lost and they had to pay hundreds of millions of pounds to that person. So obviously I'm chasing the three or four extra missing trusts that were never declared, and I'm fed up with them all, Tony. So
I'm how much do you think you should have benefited from this trust, and how much is in the trust?
Well, I mean, what the police said at the time, I've got some, notes and I've got thousands of documents. But, the figure is 8 to 10 million quid of what my grandfather's wealth was when he was murdered. So what was that money worth all of those years ago? There's special reports from the Inland Revenue, because my side of the family got the tax paid, because my grandfather was quite audacious with the law and there was tax owed. So, we got the money paid. And then after getting the money paid, you're supposed to have your inheritance handed out once liabilities are paid. We never did. They kept it all. So other people need to start thinking, what is the financial figure? Plus, there's other trusts they haven't declared, property companies. In the trust deeds that I hold, there's like 20 properties, and some of them, houses 96 to 102. My granddad bought quite a few, houses in one street, and that was in Palmerston Road in Wimbledon. The deed holds shares and bank shares, so I can share that with you, Tony. And someone needs to maybe get involved now. We've hired many different lawyers. I do it all on my own. I go to court and represent the family, because we've had to sack many different lawyers because they never amended the claim form to mention fraud, because unfortunately I'm up against a racket.
I mean, just as one example, who is now living in those houses and who are they paying rent to if they're renting them?
Well, exactly. So where is all the rental income from all of these assets? Grandfather, when he was murdered, his assets didn't just blow up and disappear as well, did they? The tenants didn't stop paying the rents, Tony, so you're quite right. It stinks.
Just remind us of your website again, please.
Yeah, it's familytrustcrimes.com, and I'll be uploading some more information very soon for your viewers and yourself.
Finally, can you just say what you think the significance of the Freemasons is in this case?
Well, in my view, they never answered my question when I used to ring them. And I also hold recorded calls, Tony, and I can share with you of the Freemasons. In my view, they completely stink. They didn't help me at all. Took over 8 months for them to ever tell me if they used the trust deed that they were named in as the beneficiaries. Over 8 months. And eventually we got an answer from them when Eugene Costello, the journalist, wrote to them And then they eventually, after 4 or 5 weeks of communicating with him, they said they never used the trust deed. So please draw your own conclusions when Dr. David Staples went on Sky News and decided to free up the Freemasons accounts and never phoned me back, never helped me. And then I had that knife attack on December 2000, on November the 8th, 2021. And then after that, they decided to say that they didn't use the trust deed. So, you know, rather strange, really. You know, I was only asking one question. I've got those recorded calls that I can share with you, Tony. And the security guards at the Grand Hall used to say, "You've been given your answer," and hung up on me. And I used to shout back at them, "No one's ever answered my emails or phone calls." Yeah. And they said, "You've got your answer," and hung up on me. So really, those calls can be shared. I did warn all of these individuals that I'm coming to resolve this matter one way or the other. And after you've had a lot of tense on your life, I sort of have given up really, you know, worrying about those things anymore. I just live with it every day.
Interesting to see how you get on in court. Do keep us informed. Jordan Durante, thanks very much for joining us.
No problem, Tony. Thank you very much for your time and all the best.